Today is Wednesday, May 10th, 14th day of the month of Iyar, Pesach Sheni. This is the women's Chumash here. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Dalet of Sefer Bereishit. Okay, Rabotai. Okay, we are up to the middle of Perek Yud Dalet of Sefer Bereishit. And last week we concentrated, after having presented the week before, why the Torah even bothers to record this particular unit at all. It has so little relevance to us, at least at first blush. And we focused on some of the names that the Torah identifies. And specifically, that they came in Pasuk Zayin, Vayashuvu Vayavo, El Ein Mishpati Kadesh. What does Ein Mishpat refer to? And today we will continue with Pasuk Chet, Tet Yud, and focus on Pasuk Yud, what the symbolisms might refer to. So I'm just going to read a couple of psukim, beginning with Pasuk Chet. Vayetze melech Sdom u'melech Amora u'melech Adma u'melech Tzvoyim u'melech Bela hitzohar. Vayarchu itam milchama be'emek hasidim. The five kings went out and waged war against the four kings. Who were they? Et kidor la'omer melech Elam. V'tidal melech goyim v'am rafel melech shinar v'aryoch melech asar arba'am melechim et hachamisha v'emek hasidim. Now it's going to tell us something about emek hasidim, simply the name of the place, the valley of Sidim. Here is what happened here. Be'erot chemar. There were be'erot full of cement. Chemar. If you remember, the teva was smeared b'chemer u'bazofes. So it's like a cement or a tar. Vayanusu melech Sdom va'amora, and two of the kings of the five, the king of Sdom and the king of Amora, ran away. Vayiplu shama, and they fell into these be'erot of chemar, into these pools of cement. What?
Tar pits,
yes. V'hanash arim, and the other three, hera nasu. They ran away to the mountains. So the four overpowered the five. Vayikhu et kol rechush Sdom v'amora. They took all of the booty of Sdom and Amora, that kol achlam, and all of their food, vayelechu, and they left. Vayikhu et Lot ve'et rechusho ben achi Avram vayelechu. They also took Lot with them, v'hu yoshev b'Sdom, and he was living in Sdom. Fine, stop right there. So the primary focus for this morning is the lengthy commentary of the Ramban on this Be'erot Be'emot Chemar in Pasuk Yud, that Emek Hasidim had these tar pits or cement pits, and that the king of Sdom and the king of Amora were trapped in it. Vayiplu Shama. So we'll start with Rashi, because Rashi starts with a Midrash, which the Ramban is not terribly pleased with. So let's take a look at the Rashi, Be'erot Chemar. Be'erot harbe hayusham, shenotlin misham adama letit shel binyan. What it was an area where there was ground or moist ground that was used for the production of cement. That's what the Torah is telling us. Now, why would that be so important to let us know that they happen to use this territory, Emek Hasidim, and take from that location to make cement? Why would it be so important? That's what's bothering the Midrash. And therefore the Midrash tells us that it's not just that they use this location to take ground to make cement. There were cement pools right there, and the king of Sodom and Amorah fell into the cement pool and was stuck. And through miraculous deed that Avraham performs, they are going to get released. Let's read Rashi, who, as he continues the Midrash. Umidrash Agada. Shahaya Hatit Mugbal Bahem. The tit had surrounded them, had taken hold of them. V'naase neis lemelech Sodom sheyatza misham. And a miracle occurred for the king of Sodom to be released, as if you're in quicksand. Imagine you're in quicksand and you have no way of getting out, of escaping, and you're probably going to sink in eventually and die, but some miracle occurred and the king of Sodom exits. Lefi shahayu be'umot miktsatan sheloho yuma'aminim shenitzal Avraham me'ur kazdim mekiv shano esh. There were people who never believed that Avram was spared miraculously after having been thrown into a cauldron by Nimrod. Said he didn't believe it. Oh, now they saw that Sodom, the king of Sodom, escapes quicksand. Oh, they believed that there are miracles in this world and that there is our God who obviously saved Avram and our God who saved Sodom. V'kevan sheyatzu zeh menachem mar he'eminu. As soon as they saw the king of Sodom escape the quicksand, then they started believing, oh yeah, that story that we heard about Avram must be true. That's the Midrash that Rashi quotes. Now, what if you were the Ramban, what would you ask, particularly knowing who Melech Sodom was, and who would you give credit for having Melech Sodom spared in this miraculous way? Of course. That's the Ramban's obvious question on Rashi's citation of the Medrash. Melech Sodom was an idolater. So if he's going to be saved, why are they suddenly going to give credit to the Ribono Shel Olam and confirm that which happened? They'll say it was just the opposite. That it's their gods who perform some type of miraculous magic or something, and that spared Melech Sodom, and perhaps that spared Avram as well. But it's certainly not going to lead to believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's take the sheet that I distributed today. Page number 1. Plenty of sheets. Anybody else need a sheet? So I bracketed Be'erot, Be'erot Chemar. So Rashi, say first he quotes Rashi. In the first paragraph, he just quoted Rashi. Now, look at, I don't want to read, I don't want time to read the whole thing, because he just said it. In the middle it says, Lashon Rashi. You see that? A little dot next to the word, Lashon Rashi. Ve'ein safek, says the Ramban, ki peirush be'erot chemar is be'erot asher bahem refesh v'tif. There is no doubt that Rashi is correct that the words be'erot, be'erot chemar does mean exactly what Rashi said. It means pools of cement, there's no doubt. After all, there is another pasuk that seems to indicate that there are such things. Ki inyan shekatuv ubabor eimayim ki imtit vayitba Yirmiyahu mitit. So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that there was a pit which did not have water in it, rather had cement in it, and Yirmiyahu fell into that particular pit. And he was miraculously saved, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Vaya aleni mi bor sh'on, mi tita yavan. And, okay, so, but he writes, V'yitachein shi'atza misham kara'ui belones. Maybe he escaped this pit. Naturally, maybe somebody threw him a line or something. We really don't know if there were any miraculous deeds in the leaving. Now he goes on the attack. Va'ani tama b'midrash ha'agadah hazeh. I am perplexed, puzzled at this midrash. Ki ha'umot shelo hayu ma'aminim she'asa kadosh baruch hu neis la'avraham. The nations that did not believe that God had performed the miracle for Abraham, birotam niso shel melech stom, when they noticed the miraculous episode of the king of stone, lo yosifu emuna b'hakadosh baruch hu. That's not going to add 1 ounce of belief in our God. Ki melech tzdol oved avoyde zarahaya. He was an idolater. Vihine niso, and as a result of the fact that a miracle occurred with him, one of two things will happen. O yichazek yidei ovdei avera. All it will do is strengthen the believers in idolatry, that this is the way to go. Look, if you worship the same idol that the king of stone worshipped, you're going to be the recipient of miracles as well. That's one possibility. O shia aminu, or they'll believe, b'chol ha'nisim shahayu bikshafim, that all miracles took place through magicians. They took place through magical, whatever it is. And we know that there are chartumim, as the Torah elaborates in Mitzrayim, the chartumim Mitzrayim. These people were capable of producing various miraculous deeds. Some of them, the makot themselves, they emulated. Dam and Svardeya, they were able to emulate. O mikre be'ef sharut rechoka. Or what will they attribute to? A far-fetched happening. Something unusual happening. V'niso yitain safek b'lev hama'aminim b'niso shel Avraham. And this miracle will do just the opposite. Not confirm belief in God, but create even greater doubt in Avraham's story, because why would God, the same God of Abraham, save the king of stone? So if these miracles are happening to the king of stone, there's got to be a different explanation for the miracle that happened for Avraham. And as a result, asks the Ramban, what exactly is the Midrash proving or claiming that the Torah informs us of this piece of information on account of the fact that we want to reconfirm belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not going to happen. So he offers his own suggestion. Ve'ulai yifarshu vayetze melech stom likraso sheyatza min habor kisha avar Avram alav. So if you'll just look a couple of psukim later, it says in Pasuk Yud Zayin. This is after the Torah tells us that Lot has been captured. Avraham mobilizes for war. And there will be, Rashi will cite two interpretations about the 318. The simple interpretation that there were 318 people who joined him. And his midrash, which he seems to favor, that it was one other person, Eliezer, and the gematria of Eliezer's name is 318. So it was just Avram and Eliezer against those notorious four kings, and they defeated all of them. And the Torah says in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayashev et kol ha'rechush, they returned all of the booty that these four kings had taken from the five kings, they returned it to them. V'gamet Lot achiv, urechusho heshiv, They had taken the wives and people captives. They returned everybody. Vayetze melech Sdom likrato. Acharei shuvo mehakot et kedar la'omer v'taham malachim ha'shiito. Melech Sdom went to greet Avraham. That's what the Torah says. So now the Ramban is going to use this this phrase that the king of Sodom is going out to greet Avraham. Why is he going out to greet the king of Avraham? So the simple possibility is because he seemingly defeated the five kings and restored all of his wealth and so on and so forth. Says the Ramban, I can't ignore a midrash. I can ask a question. So all I can do is put a little spin on the midrash. Why does the king of Sodom come to greet Avraham? So think about, what do you think the Ramban's going to say? Because how did Sodom get out? When Avraham passed by, and he somehow asked God to perform a miracle on behalf of the king of Sodom, and he was saved and spared. So now, if that's what happens, we can understand the point of the Midrash. Because the king of Sodom will be the first one to testify that what? His gods did absolutely nothing. Because until Avram came, he was, worried about drowning. And I'm sure he prayed very hard and fast to his God, and nothing seemed to be happening. The only thing that happened was that Avram comes by and suddenly, miraculously, he is spared. So Avram will tell him, it's not me who spared you, it's my God who spared you, just as God spared me from the furnace. So therefore, Ramban says, if you want to buy into this midrash, that the Torah tells us, Be'erot, Be'erot Chemar, on account of the fact that Melech Sodom fell in it, and he escaped miraculously, in order to convince all of the people that Avram was spared by God in a miraculous fashion from the Kivshan Ha'esh of Nimrod, under those circumstances, we will have ample proof from him being spared. Ki na'aseh lo neis lichvod Avraham. There was a miracle that occurred to him in honor of Avraham. Shiyatza likrato lichvodo ulivarcho. That's why the king of Sodom goes out to greet Avraham, to bless him and to thank him. Ve'efshar ki Avraham b'shuvo he bit babor hahu. It is possible that when Avraham is going into war, he actually looked into this pit. Ki chafetz lahatzil hamalachim ulahashiv lahem rechusham. Vehine naase haneis al yado. It is the miracle took place somehow via Avraham's intervention. Veim naase lamelech stom neis lichvod Avraham. Kol shekein sheyesh lahaamin sheyaase neis laAvraham lahatzil mimavis nafsho. That's how the Ramban somehow it resolves his question: how suddenly can the Midrash claim that the escape of Melech Sodom will confirm the episode of the Kivshan Ha'esh? V'ne'emar, and we will also suggest, ki Melech Amora kvar meit ka'asher avar Avram of love. He already sunk. And that's why Avram couldn't do anything to spare him. Because the text actually tells us that the Melech Sodom and Melech Amora fell into this pit. O shenafal bibor acher, kishama remez le'emek. Or perhaps the reason why he didn't save the king of Amora is because maybe he fell into a different pit. After all, this was a valley filled with pits, and maybe Avraham didn't start looking into every pit. So that's how the Ramban tries to clean up this particular medrash cited by Rashi. And you have to give why the Ram. Some often the Ramban just says that Rashi says quotes the Medrash, and he says, "Okay, nice, cute little Medrash, but I want to explain it al pi pshat or his own idea." He often does that. He doesn't often go through the trouble of explaining midrashim, which are somehow far fetched, the way Rashi cites them. He rarely does this. But he himself recognizes what prompted the Medrash to tell us this. What prompted the Medrash to say? Because from a pshat point of view, I can't understand why is it so important for us to know that there were pits of what? Of cement sitting there. Why is that so important in the story? Who cares? But if the king of stone fell in and got out, now I know why the Torah is telling us. Otherwise, it's just describing the contour of the land. And why is that so significant? Yeah.
Maybe there's it's contrasting when Avram later prays for Sodom, and it's not listened to in the sense of, you know, so that it's there, it's for, in theory, for Sodom's sake, but here it's for Avram's sake because, and it's connecting it backwards towards the Kishon HaEish because for Sodom's, in other words, you could argue that he was saved because, you know, it was great, he was a great person, which we all know he wasn't. And you can't say that. So further on, you see Avram intervening, and Hashem does not listen to it. But here Hashem does listen to it.
Yeah, but Avram's intervention there was for the righteous people in Sodom. He didn't pray for the people of Sodom, who were Rishaim. Anshe Sodom Ra'im V'chata'im Lashem Ma'od. He didn't pray for them. He just couldn't believe that every single person in the city was corrupt. And therefore his argument was in Vayeras, Hashofei Kol Ha'aretz Lo Ya'aseh Mishpat?
Right, so that's
are you going to kill the innocent together with the guilty?
That's why you have to assume it's about Avram and his cause. In other words, it's about Avram. It's that Avram passed by was the reason why he was saved. In other words, that the same way he was saved from the Kibshon HaEish. In other words, they're making a leap.
I don't understand. Okay. I don't understand what.
Why you're not expressing it clearly. That's
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good. That's point number one. Okay. Yes.
Did you mention something about en sidim? Sidim. The word sidim. I missed last week. Because
no.
Because Uqba says meshar chaklaya, and right here Yonatan ben Uziel says meshar pardesaya. It was a valley of fields or of orchards.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is the sidim? Well, is this a word that?
We mentioned that last week.
Okay.
Yeah, that it comes from sadot.
So,
and they specifically pick that location because everybody knows you have to have a food supply as you engage in battle. That's why they selected that place. Yes. Yeah. So. So that takes care of the Be'erot, Be'er Rosh Yama. So now the focus now switches to the primary reason of this particular perek in Pasuk Yud Bet. Lot is taken. Vayikhu et Lot ve'et rechusho ben achi Avram. Vayelechu v'hu yoshev b'sdom. They took the four kings, took Lot and his wealth, the son of the brother Avram, and he lived in Sodom. Okay, so how many questions would you like to identify simply on the awkwardness of this particular pasuk? What's awkward? We actually once pointed this out. We made reference to this when we met. Yes? After the word after Lot.
Right.
That's correct. That's number one. Next.
For
who Yosheb is Sodom. We know that already. Yeah. Torah told us. We know exactly where Lot lived. He lived in the city of Sodom. We know that.
And if you're going to say it, it should be the beginning of the pasuk, not
where. Right, right. Yes. It's very strange. The way, the phrasing of this. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi only comments on the second issue that you identified, Vahu Yoshev Bisdom. Says Rashi, Mi Goram Lo Zot Yeshivato Bisdom. After all, Lot was traveling with Avram, and he decided to part company. Had he not decided to part company, had he decided to remain with Avram, nothing like this would have happened. So what ultimately causes the fact that Lot shall be captured by the Arba'a Melachim? The fact that he left Avram and decided to live in stone. So the Torah is making a reference to the fact, not to inform us that he was living in stone, but telling us what was the precipitated his capture. Because he made a decision to leave, and not just to leave to any old city, but to leave specifically to the city of stone. Therefore, to the evil city of stone. And therefore, he is taken captive by Kedor LaOmer and his gang. That's what Rashi adds. I once had mentioned earlier when we started Parshat Lech Lecha that the reason why the Torah inverts the order and puts Ben Achi Avram after the word Rechusho is because sometimes it's teaching us that the greatest source, the greatest asset that a person can possibly have is who he's related to. Vayikhu es Lot ve'et Rechusho. They took Lot and all of his assets. What was his greatest asset? That he was Ben Achi Avram. That he was the nephew of Avram. That was his greatest asset. And that's what ultimately led to him being spared. Not the wealth that he accumulated, not his innate intelligence, not his great flocks. Why was he saved? For one reason and one reason. He had one asset. The great asset that he was Avram's nephew. And Avram happened to say, if you remember correctly, what did Avram say where he was going to park his flock? What did he specifically say? And Rashi elaborated. What did he say? But what else did he say besides, if you go to the right to the left? What else did Rashi say? And he say, exactly, I'm not going to go what? Too far away. Why shouldn't I go too far away? Because in case they need me, exactly. And here's exactly what happened. Had Avram moved several thousand miles away, he would have been in no position to come and save Lot.
Lot was a Jared Kushner at this time.
What?
Lot was a Jared Kushner.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll show you that's exactly what he said. So Rashi said in Pasuk Tet of Perek Yud Gimel, B'chol asher teshev lo esrachek mimcha. I'm not going to ve'emod lecha limagain ule'ezer. So what it means, how Rashi interpreted, if you go to the right, I'll go slightly to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go slightly to the right. That's how Rashi interpreted. So that I'll be able to spare you, and here is exactly what had happened. Exactly what happened. Now, take a look at page 2. Sfarno has a comment as to why Kedor LaOmer specifically took Lot captive. Why does the Torah tell us that he specifically took Lot? Why? What was Lot such a great yachzer? Why did the Torah tell us that the king Kedor LaOmer, it says that he took lots of captives. Why is it so important for us to know that he took Lot? What was his reason for singling out Lot? His reason. Kedor LaOmer. So let's see how he reads it. Vayikhu et Lot ben Achi Avram. Hit amtsu, he made a special effort, la'amot chazak ve'emat, a strong effort, lishbot et Lot, mipnei shehaya ben Achi Avram, shiyad'o ashro. They knew that Avram had enormous wealth. the Hayu Mitzapim Sheyivdeyu Avram Behon Rav. They captured him like you capture lots of people. Exactly. They expected Avram to offer an enormous ransom to redeem him. That's why, from the vantage point of the four kings, that's why they specifically took him as into captivity, due to the fact that Avram was loaded and they expected him to bail his nephew out.
The art of getting the best price possible started many centuries ago.
What?
Yes. The art of getting the best price possible.
Yes.
Started many centuries ago.
That's correct. And it has not changed. It has not changed. That's for sure. Fine. Pasuk, very nice. Vayavo hapalit. Somebody who escaped. Palit means to escape. If you remember later on in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov splits his camp into two, because he's afraid that he's going to have to go to Bar, why does he split in two? Im yavo achat vihikahu, if he'll come to one camp and he will smite it, v'haya hanishar lifleita, the other one will be able to be to escape. So a palit means somebody who escaped the consequences of the war. Doesn't tell us who it is, but Rashi in the name of the Midrash will. Vayaged la'avraham iho ivri, la'avraham ho ivri. V'hu shochein be'elonei mamre, and Avram dwelled in elonei mamre ho emori, who was an Amorite. Achi Eshkol v'achi Aner, the brother of Eshkol and Aner. Behem bale brit Avram. And these people are what? People who made allies of Avram. So now, what question emerges immediately from the simple text?
Why mention this?
Yeah, no, why mention this now? Now it's for us critical to know that Avram lived within Elonai. First of all, the Torah told us that already. That after he split with Lot, where did Avram go? To Elonai Mamre. It was right in the text. So why does the Torah have to refer to it a second time, particularly in the context of this palit? So we will see. So that's going to lead Rashi to the simple pshat of a pasuk, and then Rashi will go to his agada. First, let's take a look at who he thinks the palit is. Rashi in pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayavo hapalit lefi pishuto, according to the pshat. Not a medrash, according to the pshat. Ze'og shepolat min hamilchama. This is Og who escaped from the battle.
This is
the
pshat?
This is the pshat. And he proves it, because there is a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, kimo shekatuv, ki rak Og nishar miyeter harifaim. Last week we learned that the war that Kedar La'omer and his gang attacked the Rifa'im, the giants. Well, the Torah tells us that there was only one person who survived amongst all the giants. Who was that? Og Melech HaBashan. And so therefore Rashi puts two and two together. The Palit was Og Melech HaBashan, because the Torah itself tells us that he survived from amongst all of the Rifa'im. All of these powerful giants were slain by Kedar La'omer and his gang. Vehu vizehu nishar shelo harguhu Amraphel. Amraphel, one of the kings, did not kill the Chaverav. Kishehiku es harifa'im ba'ashtirot karnayim. Where did I find this? In the Midrash Tanchuma. But the Tanchuma is not claiming that this is a drash. The Tanchuma is claiming this is the simple pshat.
Yeah, how?
The simple pshat. Now this means now Rashi will quote a medrash. Umidrash bereshit rabba zeog shepalat midor hamabul. This is Og Melech HaBashan who survived the Mabul. V'zehu miyeter harifaim. This is what the Torah in Sefer Dvarim says, that Og was the sole survivor of the Rifaim. Shine'emar hanifilim hayu ba'aretz. Before the Mabul, the Torah tells us, these giants were roaming the land. And he, Og, according to the Midrash, how did he survive the Mabul? He was so tall, exactly. The water didn't drown him because he was higher than the mountains and everything else. Right. Umit kavein. And his purpose was, Shiehoreg Avram, he's hoping that Avram would be killed by whom? By these kings. V'yisa et Sarah. And he will marry Sarah. Wow. She must have been a real knockout. That's all I could say. Even an old Og. Yeah. Melech Paro wants her, and Avimelech wants her. Everybody wants this 90-year-old woman.
And she had a baby when she was 90, so some
right. So she's a little younger now. Right. Right. Okay. That's one interpretation. Now, right above the Sfarno is the Balaturit. I didn't bracket it, but he comes up with such a far-fetched story about how Og survived. It's just unbelievable. Right above him, but he's a Rishon, the Tur, the Balaturim. He cites a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is a lesser-known Midrash. It's not like the Medrash Rabba, which Rashi usually quotes, or the Medrash Tanchuma, but it's quoted in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Bisha'a Shehipil Hakadosh Baruch Hu L'Samael Mimkomo Ochaz Bekanfot Michael Lahapilo Imo Upolto Hakadosh Baruch Hu Miyado. Who is Og? Who is this Palit? Not Og Melech HaBashan. Not Og. Who is he? He's an angel in heaven. His name is Samael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicked Samael out of his abode in heaven. That's what it says. Shehipil HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Samael Mimkomo. As he was being kicked out of his abode, whatever that means in terms of angels, Ochaz B'Kanfot Michael. He grabbed hold of another angel's wings by the name of Michael. We've heard of Michael all the time. In Mincha of Yom Kippur, Michael, Miyamin, Milavel, that Michael stands on the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sings praise. V'Gavriel, and Gavriel's Mismolo, on the left side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of the piyutim of Mincha Yom HaKippur. Lahapilo, and he wanted to take down Michael. Why did he grab his wings? Because if I'm going, he's going too. Upolto HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miyado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his little finger and flicked Samael out of the grasp, out off the wings of Michael, and he landed on earth. He is the Palit.
What's the Midrash trying to tell us?
That this was purely miraculous intervention by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No human intervention giving Avram. Nobody is coming to tell Avram about Lot. God had to do it himself. Why did he have to go through such an unusual process to inform Avram? I haven't the foggiest idea. but it's not any human being. And where he says he found this in Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, and very nice. Okay. And then he believes, which is even further far-fetched, says, in Yechezkel, they also refer to a palit, and the Baal HaTurim claims it's the same person. A messenger came to me, somebody who escaped, and said, Yerushalayim has been attacked. Because as you well know, Yechezkel is the only Navi who offers Nivuah in Chutz La'aretz. He's already on the way to Bavel when God informs him of the destruction of the temple. So which palit came to tell him the city has been destroyed? The same palit. So if you're an angel by the name of Samael, you can live from the time that we are talking about here until the destruction of the first temple, which is 1,000 years from this particular time. It's not a problem. Why? Because if it was Og or anything like that, the Torah should have said. Why does the Torah have to hide who he is? But according to Rashi, Rashi thinks the simple pshat is that it's Og Melech HaBashan, and we will see that Rashi will tell us, explain, another pasuk in Tanakh, which confirms this. Please open up to Bamidbar, chapter 21 or 22. I'll tell you in a second. It's the end of Parshas Chukat. Yes, it's Perek Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet. Bamidbar chapter 21, verses 33 and 34. The time period in this unit is, it's at the end of the 40th year, and Am Yisrael are beginning their travels toward Israel. Moshe made a request of the king of Moab to walk through his territory, and he said no. He said no, and Moshe honored it. Then he made a request of the king of Og, from Og Melech HaBashan, to cross through his territory. We won't badger you, we won't step at you, we'll go down Broadway, we'll pay for all the food and everything. So Og didn't just say no. What did Og do? He went to war. So the Torah says, Vayetze Og Melech HaBashan Likratam, Hu V'cholamo, La Milchama Edrei, in the city of Edrei. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Al Tira Otav. Don't be afraid. What can you infer from the fact that God has to tell Moshe not to be afraid? What can you infer? That he was afraid. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell him, Al Tira Otav. So Rashi explains why Moshe was afraid. Because he was afraid that Og had zichuyot, which would protect him and make sure that he succeeds in battle. What zichut would protect him? The fact that he told Avram about his nephew Lot. So this is, Rashi uses this over and over again. How can Og Melech HaBashan be a player later on 40 years? How come he's still a player 40 years later when all the other kings were killed here by Kedar LaOmer and his gang? So therefore Rashi actually believes that the pshat of the pasuk is Og. And that's what? What?
Why didn't they just say
that? That's one of the questions which you have to wait until 120. And then you'll ask the Rabbani Shilayla. Why did you tell Moshe not to write Vayavo Og? Why did you have Hapalit? So he'll tell you, because there'll be something to learn. If it just said, oh, there'd be nothing to talk about. No. Palit means somebody who escaped. That's for sure. That there's no doubt.
Maybe Og is like saying Paro.
What is that?
Maybe Og is like saying the term Paro, which obviously there are many Paros.
That's perhaps, that's possible, I'm not saying it's not, but no one seems to everybody seems to be giving a, but you might be right. Not that the king of Bashan was always called Og, so it's not the same dude. But right, but obviously Rashi feels it is, and that's why he's convinced that it's Og Melech HaBashan. Yes, question.
What is the connection with the word Platon
with the pasuk right before that?
Is there any connection with Talit and Platon? Which play team?
Pasuk Chav Chet? In where? In Vayishlach? In where? In Chukat? In Pasuk Chav Chet? Ki Pasuk Chav Chet? Oh, Chav Chet. Olucha Moav Amkosh Natan Banav Pleitam Ubinosav Bashvit. Platim. Yes, it's a palit. I don't know. Don't know. Not sure.
Palit was often a refugee. In other words, he made them into refugees in the sense that he chased them out of their land, and those who were not taken captive, the women
were taken captive, and the men were yes.
Palit is often used like that.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
What's the connection of Moshe not being afraid because it was Og who went to Abraham?
No, he was afraid.
He was afraid. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say, Al tira, don't be afraid. I'm going to help you in this battle.
He thought that
the zechut of Og had a merit that would enable him to defeat Am Yisrael in the battle, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to come and allay his fears.
He had immunity.
Yeah?
He had immunity.
Yeah. Now, good, so that's the first issue, who this palit was. Now, if you take somebody like Ibn Ezra, I don't know if I photostated the Ibn Ezra page. Yes, right above the on that page two, you have Uperush Hapalit. You see the Ibn Ezra hit the last line. Shebarach v'nimlat b'mnei Sdom. Who is the palit? According to Ibn Ezra?
Someone from Sodom.
Somebody. We have no idea who it is. He just ran away from Sodom. V'chein ba'elai ha'palit mirushalayim. The exact same pasuk that the Balaturim quoted. It means somebody who escaped. Don't forget that when an enemy comes and attacks, not every citizen gets killed. There are people who escape. And really makes no difference who he is. Therefore, what does the Torah tell us? How does the Torah tell us? It was just an escapee, a person who by luck happened to have escaped. But he's nobody very significant, and hence we don't know his name. But he acknowledges Ibn Ezra, v'yesh drash v'agadah. He knows that Rashi has taken the route that it was Og. But if you want to know a simple pshat, it's Vayavoa Palit, somebody who escaped the storm, who was maybe he was one of Lot's neighbors and a friend, and he knew that he had an Uncle Abe, and he went and told him. Yeah.
Wouldn't it just be
Vayavoa Palit? The Ha-Palit. That's very possible. Yes, that's possible. That it's the Hei Ha-Yidi'ah. It's not just any old Palit, but it's the Palit. Very possible. Very good insight. Yes. Good. Yeah.
I have a quick idea that Abram's concerned about the speed of the Og.
Right.
Rather might be able to, yes, good reason, because we say Hashem's a fair fellow in the Shabbat.
Right.
God, there's a merit book, basically, and so there's a payback for that.
Right.
Despite the fact that Og is who he is.
Right.
It's a good, it's a apparently, you know, he did this, but he also did something very...
That's correct. Correct. Yeah. In fact, if you go now to page number 3... There has recently been discovered, it's not so recent, it's but within the last 25 years, manuscripts of where Rashi added something onto his own commentary. Where Rashi, you know, Rashi wrote everything down on paper, there was no publishing yet. So Rashi himself, there was a comment, a publisher, thank God, took a manuscript of Rashi and published it in a Chumash. That's all it is. It's the luck of the draw as to who you decide to pick, which manuscript you decide to pick up and publish. So Rashi apparently had another manuscript, and it was found, I would say, about 20 years ago, and it's called Mosaf Rashi, Rashi's own additions to his own commentary. And in the last couple of years, 20, 25 years, somebody took that, found that manuscript, and they published it in certain editions of the Chumash. So if you look at, on the bottom of the page, Rashi on the Vayavo HaPalit, in his added commentary, he makes reference himself to what? To the Chukas episode. He himself made that reference. Vayavo HaPalit. Vayetze Og Melech Habashan Likrato Vayomer Hashem Elai Alti Ra'oto Mityare Haya Moshe Shelo Ta'amod Lo Zichut Sheshimesh LeAvraham Shene'emar Vayavo HaPalit Vehu Og. So Rashi himself didn't wait for us to make that connection. He himself made that connection. In his first edition, he did not say it. He just wrote that it was Og, and he says there's a pasuk there. But what confirms it is the subsequent battle between Og and Am Yisrael, and Moshe is worried. Vayiram, Al tira oto. Don't be afraid of him. So Rashi himself, in a later edition, decided to add this, and instead of changing the original text that appears in Rashi, they just print it as a subcategory called Mosaf Rashi.
It says that in my Rashi
in Chukas. In Chukas, yes. But not here in here, it's right here. Yes. You know, I'm not joking about the luck that you require in order to be published. Take, for example, Ashkenazic law in commenting on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch was written and authored by a Sephardic Jew, Karo, Rav Yosef Karo, who follows the Piskei Halacha of the Rambam and the Rif, who were co-Sephardic Jews. So there were two great Ashkenazic authorities in the 16th century who decided to write an Ashkenazic version. One was the Rama and the other one was the Marshal. They both wrote commentary on all four Halakim of Shulchan Aruch, bringing the Ashkenaz tradition against Rabbi Yosef Karo. And if you read the Shulchan Aruch, there are hundreds and thousands of differences between Ashkenazic and Sephardic Jewry. So, the Marshal wrote a letter how bitter he was that his commentary was never published. And the only ones who know about it are Talmidei Chachamim, who have very good libraries. They'll have the Marshal's collection with them. Otherwise, he's a lost artist. Why did that happen? Because the printer, who happened to pick up a manuscript, picked up the one who printed the Shulchan Aruch, happened to pick up the manuscript of the Ramah. So he printed the Ramahs in the Shulchan Aruch instead of the Marshals. If he had picked up the Marshals would have been printed inside every Shulchan Aruch, every Mishnah Brura, and then the Ramah would have been a relative unknown. It's just, that's what Chazal say, Hakol talui b'mazal afilu sefer Torah shebehechal. even the Sefer Torah, which Torah you're going to read, you know, that's pure luck of the draw sometimes. The Gabbai takes this one out, and the other one is ignored. I feel the Sefer Torah, Hakol Toli B'mazel. So here, you know, somebody fortunately picked up this other manuscript, and they added it as Mosaf Rashi. Yeah. Then if you'll turn for a second, just to wind up, this is taken from a commentary on the Zohar, who explains to us a different version as to why the Torah tells us about the cement pits. Ve'emek hasidim be'erot be'erot chaymar v'yiplu shama. Efshar mashmienu zeh. It is possible that the Torah is letting us know. On sham. It wants to let you know how the king of Sodom and Amorah were punished and why they were punished. Shenotu achar hachomer ho'afri v'ta'avot hagufniyot. Their inclination was to what?
Materialistic,
exactly. Their whole life was nothing but to enjoy a material life. Alkei ne'enshu midah k'neged midah, v'hachemar nifra mehem. It is the cement, symbolic of what? Of a materialistic item. O liot adayin rubam kikula mibone hamigdal shahachemar hayalohem lechomer. Maybe these people were those who were left over from the Dor HaHaflaga, who tried to what? Build a tower. And how did they build a tower? By taking bricks and mixing it. And how did they keep the bricks together? With chemar. The Torah tells us that, with cement. So it's midah keneged midah. So the purpose of telling us is not to inform us about the miracle of Avram, but the purpose of telling us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nokeim, midah keneged midah, punishes measure for measure, and they were interested in the material world, they died specifically at the hands of the material world. So said this commentary on the Zohar. All right, we'll stop here. You have to check. Make sure you check the emails, because I might be going on. I'm not sure if I'm going to go on NORPAC next week. So if I go on NORPAC, there will not be a share next week. I'm planning to go, but yeah. So just keep checking the emails of the shul.
Rabbi, in Los Angeles, they have the La Brea tar pits, where they found many, many dinosaur fossils.
Really?
In other words, dinosaurs were trapped in this tar.
Really? Wow.
To the extent that even an animal that big.
Wow.
I'm going to say, I quoted the Hill of Christ 2 weeks ago or a week ago about this, and it's not a hill, it was an angle.
Oh.
How they mine.
Teirate knees.
Yes.
Yes. It's okay, not a problem.
The cement.
Yes.
Is the vein nos? Ayaratub or loratub?
Loratub.
Ayaratub.
Okay. ולכן תבו.
וייתכן מאוד, באותו זמן שתבו, ייתכן מאוד שבאמת אפשר, אבל זה גם לא אומר מה העומק שלהם. אולי
לא כתוב.
אז אולי רק עד הרגליים, ואפשר לצאת חדשתיים.
אוקיי, זה ייתכן.
אוקיי, זה כל העניין.
You talked about the muzzle of the printer.
Yes.
Why do we have Rashi script?
What?
Why do we have Rashi script? Because the printer ran out of whatever.
Right.
Really?
Okay.
And we never had children
have to suffer. So to learn Rashi.
To learn Rashi script.